Hey guys, it's your girl Sunny D, one third of the podcast GFT Radio Show.
What up, though? It's your boy Willie Styles from the GFT Radio Show. Just letting you know, you can catch us every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And get some merch. I got some on right now. Go to teespring.com/stores/GFT Radio.
Room for Talk Radio. Join the conversation. Let's have some fun. Holla.
What up, doe? It's your boy Willie Styles in the building. Welcome to Grown Folks Talk Radio. That's GFT Radio for short. Dame, you want to say what up? Oh, you're muted, Dame. I think Dame was like on a phone call or something. He was trying to be.
¿Cómo estás? Hola.
What up, doe?
Hey, hey.
But yeah, so it's me and Dame in the building tonight. Definitely shout outs to Sunny and to Clint. Sunny had some prior arrangements she needed to, or prior commitments she needed to attend to. And Clint had some other things he had to get taken care of. So he's on hiatus right now. So shout out to both of them. Much love. Sunny might join us later. We're not sure. We'll see. Hopefully she'll find some time to jump on with us later on tonight. But in the meantime, you are watching GFT Radio Show. I'm going to try something new tonight. I'm going to do a quick introduction promo. If you're watching tonight, you're watching on a Monday, maybe even a Thursday, but tonight is Monday, August the 31st, last day of August. I mean, it's been a crazy, crazy month. It's gone by very fast, and it's already in. So welcome to Monday, August 31st. It's now 10 p.m. on the East, and what is it? 7 p.m. on the West. So welcome, everybody. Every Monday, we're here, 10 p.m. Eastern. If you're not watching us during one of our live shows, you can catch us on demand 24/7 on one of our podcast channels. I'll go through those later. In the meantime, get your merchandise. You saw me earlier. I had on the mask. So we do have masks now. They fit perfectly. Well, they fit mostly for most folks. I think we're going to be working on some kids' masks in the future. But right now, we got the adult masks. And then we have T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, all kinds of stuff. Teespring.com/store/GFT Radio. So definitely cop some merch. In the meantime, tonight, we got a great show lined up. Hopefully everybody is having a great night. If you're joining us after watching the Brandy versus Monica battle, I think it may actually be going on still. I think they're up at like 1.3 million viewers concurrently right now. Amazing show going on. It was definitely an epic night so far. But tonight we got some trending topics. We want to talk about a bunch of different things. And of course, we're going to talk about the topic of the hour. So it's trending topics, but also our subtitle is Long Live the King. So we will be doing a tribute to Chadwick Boseman. I wanted to see if we can get a few more folks watching, and then we'll get into that. In the meantime, you know, we got a couple other things that are going on in the world, and wanted to touch on real quick, and then we're going to definitely get into this Chadwick Boseman tribute, talk about his impact and everything. First things first, Dame. So
yes.
I don't know if you watched the Monica versus Brandy battle that came on tonight. Did you get a chance to check that out?
My friend called me or texted me before I joined the show, saying that Monica dropped a new song. I totally missed it because I forgot about it, even though I saw it this morning. Like, I can't wait to watch it. Because, you know, life with kids and life in, you know, in this pandemic is hectic. Yeah. So I totally forgot. Oh, then by the time I tuned in, there are two chairs and nobody was sitting in them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm like, what? Okay. Let me get ready for the show.
Oh yeah, you must have either caught the what they call it, the interlude or the intermission or something like that, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they were still going, but I know they had taken a break or something. I had to end up rewinding it a little bit because I had missed a couple of parts, going to bathroom breaks, checking on the kids, that kind of thing. So I had went and hung out with them while I was watching it. So it's pretty dope. So I did watch some of it. Brandy, Monica, definitely class acts, definitely amazing show. They had, like I said, 1.2 million people at one point, 1.2 or 1.3 million people watching. It was, they weren't both singing the whole time throughout all their songs, but Brandy did most of her songs, little bits and pieces, or maybe even like a full verse. Monica did a couple of her songs here and there. So it was still pretty nice. And, you know, just the love the ladies showed each other back and forth. The respect of the game, their history, the history that the individual history, the combined history, you know, the stories, the behind the scenes stories. It was amazing. It was a great show. Definitely, I felt like, you know, Monica was winning it because Monica has some killer hits that she was breaking down. Brandy was doing some things too, you know, it's funny when you watch these verses because you don't really know who's going to play what and what songs they're going to pick. And I always feel like, you know, there's always those surprises. And this was one where I thought Brandy was just going to take it away. And Monica really just surprised me, shocked me out the gate with the song selections that she had compared to what Brandy had picked out. What was the last verses that you checked out?
You know what? I don't even remember. I'll be honest. I've been so busy, man. It's like, you know, three kids.
Man, I got six kids, four god kids, five grandkids, two houses, three cars.
Hey, Willie. I see. You just confirmed my jokes about you being on your yachts. Yes, I know. Yes.
And you busy. Okay. Remember how busy you are. Mr. Yes.
New. Remember, mine is a newborn. Your kids are teenagers and can self-efficient.
True. Teenagers and adults. So yeah, my grandson, he is so cute. I was over there hanging out with him today, walking. You know, trying to walk. He's not walking, but he's trying to walk.
He is chunky.
All kinds of stuff. He's funny. He's amazing.
That boy is chunky. I'm like, dude. No, that's definitely a linebacker. He gonna make you money in the future.
No doubt.
If they're ever gonna play sports in the next century or so, you know, the way this pandemic's working out.
Exactly. Well, let's get down to it, man. I mean, you know, it's been a rough last couple of days for a lot of people, and I think a lot of us, you know, share the same sentiment that, you know, the next subject of our topics of the night, you know, that this man had a huge impact on us in the last, I mean, it's been a short time. I mean, it's been 5, 6, maybe 7 years that a lot of us have really followed his career. I think he's had amazing outings as an actor, as a director, as a writer, and, definitely gone way too soon. Chadwick Boseman, you know, definitely class act. Wakanda Forever, known him as our King of Wakanda, the Black Panther. You know, I think that a lot of people, you know, get the impact, they understand what he meant to the, not only just the culture, but what he meant to people, to children, to people of color, to people around the world. You know what I mean? I think they definitely get that part of it. So I definitely just wanted to just discuss the impact he had for us and the things that we felt about his performances, his abilities, things of that nature. You want to go ahead and get started, Dane?
For this role particular, Black Panther, it felt like we actually did have a king for Wakanda. You know, even though it was made up fictional country in Africa, the way he carried himself in that role made us proud. Like, and the off-screen, you didn't hear any off-screen shenanigans from him, like from other co-stars. Like, I want to bring up Brie Larson. You see stuff about her being slammed by her co-stars or hated. Oh, but you never heard anything from Chadwick Boseman, you know, about his acting wild and stuff like that, as most people would portray black people as difficult and can't do this and can't do that. You just heard the utmost respect from this guy, you know what I'm saying? And for him to, you know, leave so soon, because he was only 43, he's a year older than me. And it was, stuff like that hits kind of close to home. It's like when we lost Kobe in January, it's like, man, Kobe is a few months younger than me, and he lost his life. And it's like, so 2020 can just go away right now. It's just like,
yeah. 2020 is not holding back. It's definitely not taking any prisoners. It's definitely, you know, it's a mess in general. I mean, it's terrible. So I definitely agree with that.
It was like somebody opened up the gates of something and just like, you know what? Let's just unleash everything on 2020.
Right.
Even though the coronavirus started in 2019, I mean 2019, but you know, it's like 2020 has been the worst decade this year. So
right.
It's been the one decade,
like literally ever, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, I definitely share your sentiment that, you know, the impact that he had just from a standpoint of, you know, as an actor, as a character, being that, you know, playing James Brown, playing Thurgood Marshall, playing Jackie Robinson, playing T'Challa, feeling like he really embodied those roles. Like he really,
James Brown.
Yeah, definitely. He did a heck of a James Brown for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, looking at his abilities as not only an actor, but a writer and a director. I believe he wrote was it The Five Bloods? No, not The Five Bloods. He was in The Five Bloods. He wrote Message from the King, and I believe directed that one as well. And, you know, just looking at the work ethic and his ability to kind of just take charge and just jump in there. I was reading that article that you sent me about Ryan Coogler's estimation of what he thought of Chadwick. And, you know, he was talking about his, you know, doing stunts and his learning his lines in the same day that he was, performing or doing it for the screen, like literally learned his Xhosa lines, like a whole different language, learned those lines that day on the spot and killed it. And, you know, the impact that he had, you know, I was watching a video, I think it was Ryan Davis was talking about that representation, you know, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, when he was a kid watching Static Shock,
yes,
the cartoon Static Shock, and having that representation impact him beyond what he really realized at the time. But he said, you know, you can think about how that is the same thing for kids and young adults watching Chadwick Boseman play a literal king in the Black Panther movies and the Captain America movies and Avengers, and being able to see that representation and being able to, I mean, and then in the Black Panther movie, see all the representation of all of the different actors, actresses, you know, the environment, you know, that African environment that they created, which had, you know, realistic and real life, roots in reality. So, you know, seeing that represented on screen was amazing. And you know, me myself, I was, when I was younger, I was really into drama, really into acting. And so I know how tough it is to be in front of a crowd or in front of an audience, in front of people, and you're trying to remember lines and things of that nature. Never at the grand scale that he was at, of course, but it, you know, just thinking about this, the you know, the psyche that takes to get through that, but to do that over and over again, but to do it so well, you know, I definitely can't say that I was at that level ever and that, you know, did that great. But I just remember being able to see the passion in his eyes and the passion in his acting. And then just in the things he did off screen, I wanted to play a video here real quick that was produced by comic book comicbook.com. They did a tribute, so I wanted to play that real quick and give me 1 second. I gotta share the audio. Here we go. All right.
We lost a legend on Friday. Chadwick Boseman's life was taken at the age of 43, but we certainly are not going to say that this hero lost any battles. This week's second printing won't be rounding up news which makes us happy and tells us what to keep looking forward to, but a tragedy which is bringing us together as a massive family that we are, the devastating loss of Chadwick Boseman. The actor who most of us here in Comic Book Nation, myself included, will forever identify as our Black Panther was fighting cancer since 2016. His men gave us Captain America Civil War, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, and Avengers Endgame, all while battling and being treated. Not to mention 21 Bridges, Five Bloods, Marshall. He lived a life worth celebrating. We were fortunate enough to share our time on the planet with him. Chadwick was going to Children's Hospital, visiting terminally ill kids with cancer, connecting with them, staying in touch, making them smile and feel on top of the world, knowing that he was going through a similar battle himself. Chadwick was from the state of South Carolina, a place very near and dear to my heart personally, and every time I had the true, genuine fortune of being in the same place as this legend, we would poke fun at each other for being fans of different schools from that state, and anyone from the South knows that college sports are no laughing matter, but with Chadwick, it was always a laugh. It was a gigantic, genuine, enthusiastic, and warm smile, and it was contagious. He made people happy. Yes, Chadwick Boseman is definitely our Black Panther. He's T'Challa. But Chadwick is so much more than just any one character. He is a hero to so many people and so many children who otherwise never had a chance to see themselves on the biggest screen or the biggest titles of all time until he showed that was possible. He represented historical figures like Jackie Robinson and Thurgood Marshall with pride and honor. Chadwick Boseman is excellence in its purest form. And even though he's gone, he will always be a legend and a beautiful figure in our family. As Chadwick once said in character as T'Challa, death is not the end. It's more of a stepping off point. Well, as you step off, Chadwick, we will do our best here to honor your legacy, one which is already incredible, important, and inspiring, even though I was just getting started. Rest in power, King. We lost a legend on Friday. Chadwick Boseman.
So, yeah, so that was Chadwick Boseman. Like you said, a legend, a king, icon, definitely a man that made an impact on a lot of people, a lot of lives over the years, and definitely gone too soon.
His character as Ryan Davis, I remember seeing that video too, Ryan Davis played. His character of Black Panther, I mean, his description of Static Shock, I don't agree with him. That's his personal choice. I couldn't see myself as Static Shock fan. You know what I'm saying? It was other characters out there, but that was the closest thing we had. Because for some reason, Black people aren't really portrayed as heroes in any story, in a lot of stories. You know, I just couldn't see myself liking Virgil.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, first the name. I mean, I understood. I still watched it, but I wasn't the biggest fan. Like, this is what we got. Batman animated.
Well, I mean, that's important what you just mentioned there, though, right? That there's two things that were happening there. One, we didn't have a lot of options when it came to heroes.
See.
And we didn't have a lot of options when it came to young or, you know, adolescent caricatures in the on TV or in movies at that time that represented, you know, young Black men or young Black or you know, young Black boys.
Our generation, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think that's why he probably connected with that character. I mean, because like you said, there were other options, but not in that regard, right?
Right.
You know, there may have been a few, you know, other characters or actors that were doing their thing, but, you know, from a standpoint of a kid that was into comics or was into hero centric stories, you know, we didn't have a lot of options at that time.
Hey, you notice all the heroes that they had out either had the blue eyes, blonde hair syndrome. You know, it's like the go-to, they're the only ones who can save us.
Right.
Is a fair-skinned people. So when they had Static Shock, I was like, I bought into it, but I wasn't like the biggest, fan of Static Shock. Right. You know what I'm saying? But then when they brought out Black Panther, he's been out there since what, 19 something?
I think it's 73 or something like that.
But he didn't get a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. They didn't focus on him. It was always Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman for DC. Even Green Lantern and Aquaman got some play.
Right.
Then there was Tony Stark and the X-Men.
Sorry, 66. 1966 is when Fantastic Four number 52.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and then we had Fantastic Four. We just never had anybody really Black. I think the blackest guy that they had was Wolverine.
Right.
For us to like. Now, even that was like, man, he's cool. He can cut people, you know. So, you know, for me, it was kind of hard to find a superhero I really liked. I like Green Lantern because green was my favorite color. You know, constructs out of powers, that was pretty cool. Batman, because he's a billionaire with no superpowers, that had all these gadgets. I'm not talking about the animated series Batman. I'm not talking about Adam West.
Yeah, you wasn't feeling Adam West Batman?
Pow, bam, boom. No.
It had some redeeming qualities to it.
No, it did. I did like it, but it wasn't like I gotta watch it.
Right, right.
Now if you put me in Star Wars, that's a totally different subject, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had Lando Calrissian in Star Wars for a hot minute.
Black pimp of the galaxy, yes. Right. Oh, how you doing? Who might you be? She with me, dude.
I need more.
Nope.
Somebody gotta tell me how to keep Siri from like cutting on every 5 seconds when I'm not talking to her.
It's called an install program.
Right.
So
I definitely agree that we've improved in terms of diversity in not only comics but also in television and movie representation in the comics and the superhero-dom. We can think of other actors who were big stars in that time. You know, I can't remember exactly how old I was when Static Shock came out, but I'm pretty sure at that time there was, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. There was,
if you look up the year, I can tell you.
I know, right? Exactly. let me see. At that time, there was first episode was 2000. So yeah, so we had tons. We were a little older.
So yeah, Ryan Davis
is. Couldn't connect. That might have been why you couldn't connect to Static Shock, because Static Shock was a little bit after our you know prime time when it comes to cartoon watching and things of that nature. I mean, we still probably watched them at that time, but not as much as the Ryan Davis must have been.
That's probably why I wasn't feeling them.
yeah. That might have something to do with it. You know, I think now we have a bit more options, especially for our kids, for our grandkids, and and those that need that representation, we definitely have some better options now.
Yeah, because we got Rhodey now, Iron Man's best friend.
right. Even beyond that, we have Cyborg, we have the new Batman, we have who else?
Miles Morales.
Yeah, the new Spider-Man. There's
that was a good movie.
Yeah. Oh, Enter the Spider-Verse. Yeah, definitely.
That was a good movie.
Definitely a great movie. Trying to remember what else we were looking at.
We did have somebody, Will. I forgot. You forgot this too. You got me on this cartoon and you forgot about Bulletproof.
Bulletproof. Cops. Come up what's Cops. The name?
The animated series, Cops.
Yeah.
The black guy, the black leader of Cops.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was wow. I forgot all about that. I'll have to find. I don't know if we can find that image.
I don't think the internet can find that image.
right. But yeah, the this just the impact. I think alone, of having that representation is just important. It's a lot.
Yeah, you see a lot of kids are hurt.
Not only for black and brown people, but for when women are represented, for little girls and for women growing up, seeing that representation helps for everybody, because I mean, the majority has always had the, hey, Brittany, how you doing?
Hey, Double B.
So yeah, having that representation, it's important because it makes it easier to see yourself in a bigger light or see yourself doing bigger things. I forgot what thing I was reading. It was an article talking about, when you have lack of representation, and especially when it's a negative connotation that you're seeing out, on the screen or on, in art and in things that you're watching or things that you're taking in, it affects you, your whole psychology gets affected by that. So it's definitely important to have that representation.
You know what? And to the producers and the makers of Black Panther and Civil War, when they first introduced Black Panther, they did a great job, because I think it was a couple of shows ago when I said to Victor goes as history. No, history is written by the victors. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of stuff about Africans that's either misrepresentation, represented. Can't even say it. Shouldn't have drummed before the show. Half truths. Right. Like you always think about Africa as them being in the wild,
right?
No clothes, hunting for you found it.
Okay. The internet was undefeated.
Defeated. I thought you was about to give them that first L. Always thought about them hunting cheetahs and hunting their food. Yes, they do have that part of Africa, but then they got other parts of Africa they don't see, like the beautiful cities. So when they did Wakanda and made it even more magical, mm-hmm. and more beautiful than what the average person would know about Africa, I love this movie. I feel it. You know what I'm saying? Because they finally giving us representation to be more positive and not just be the gang related. And in fact, for the beginning of the movie, when he was in the hood, his son was playing basketball in the hood.
Right.
We don't have that image, just that image anymore. They're just being good thugs and gangbangers.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I'm getting text messages, so that kind of threw me off too.
Oh, okay. No doubt. Thought you had more to say.
Yeah, actually I did.
Go ahead and switch over kind of a duo topic. We were talking about, or not talking about, we've been looking at the whole situation with the 2020 elections, a lot of the situations with the pandemic and how are we going to vote? And there's a lot of people who are worried about the Postal Service being affected or affecting their ability to vote and, you know, having that impact us in terms of, you know, having the services just, you know, delay the voting, delay, or not even just the voting, but delay, you know, a lot of our essential information that's being mailed to us back and forth, things like that. Have you been following that?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't know what's going to happen because the way this world is working, the way this year is working, I can't trust anybody right now because the postmaster is like, I don't know anything.
Right.
No, mailboxes aren't being removed. The way Trump works and the way things are working right now, I don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Is it going to make restricting voters in poverty areas? You know they want to vote one way. They already know this. They said this 3 years ago about if Democrats got their way, Republicans would never be in office. Mm-hmm. So they already know. They already hip to the tactics.
Right.
What else did you ask me? I'm sorry.
So yeah, no, I was just saying, you know, in general with the whole. So just with the whole situation, you know, like you say, the impact is not just on the tactics that are being used from the political standpoint. Like they even mentioned in the Save, you know, the USPS petition is that, you know, it's a danger for millions of Americans. You know, they get their prescriptions through the mail. They may get, you know, essential, you know, bills and information through the mail.
Money.
Yeah, getting your checks. You know, not everybody gets direct deposit, right? You know, some of the things though that I think a lot of people are worried about is the absentee ballots, because this is a huge election year, a lot of things going on with that. A lot of people have been, I won't say misled, but they may have misunderstood how they can get their ballots in if they're voting absentee. You know, you can drop your ballots off at most county offices or county drop boxes around your area. So there, you don't have to rely on the mail for that. So you don't have to worry about that. If that's not an option, you know, a lot of people are saying put a stamp on your ballot to make it first class, but actually prepaid postage on ballot envelopes is already first class. So you don't have to add another postage to force the USPS to treat it as first class. Is already going to be treated that way. Issue of the collection boxes, that's been a huge issue because there's been the problem of availability, being able to drop your mail and you know, get your mail dropped off. So, you know, for citizens who don't have transportation or who don't have post offices near them, I know in a few cities that I've been to, there may just be a central post office and just distribution boxes. But if they don't have the boxes, then you have to go to a postal office that may be miles and miles away from your home. And, you know, if you don't have transportation, you know, or if you're relying on public transportation, that may become a problem. So I think that's one of those things where, you know, it's dangerous for Americans. Other big thing, and this is what I was looking for, they were talking about a lot of the changes that were being made,
why do you have to subscribe to everything?
Yeah, I know, right? It's like everybody wants you to subscribe and to pay them. So anyway, the postal guy was saying that he was going to halt the changes, but then a lot of the employees of the Postal Service were saying there's a lot of issues, right? And I mean, it just brings up the issue of, you know, worker satisfaction, you know, being able to take care of workers, being able to take care of the people who are taking care of us, you know, that's a big problem. you know, they're like here is talking about some of the stations have so much mail backed up, it's three times more than the volume they see at Christmas, and that's in Chicago. And you got to think, you know, at in those holiday times, they hire extra people to handle all that mail. And right now they're working, you know, at reduced staff, or they may be working at just normal levels of staff, but they have this higher level and higher volume of mail. So it's crazy, you know, that they have to go through that.
But that's the thing is, like, why are you reducing staff during a pandemic, one? Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand, you know, you want a social distance, but they should have something in place for, like, I don't know, mail, extra spacing for social distancing when you're sorting mail or trying to get the mail out. But then you're making it very hard for everybody to get their mail, the right. bills, their paychecks. You know, I don't know what type of game they're trying to play, and what is their end game besides giving a guy who's pretty much ran this country to the ground four more years of it?
Right, right. Well, and that's the thing. You know, they're saying that they're purposefully sabotaging the Postal Service, right? You know, for the benefit from a political benefit, right? You know, that's the biggest thing, and that's where the biggest concerns are. Is, you know, they're politicizing and using their political power to hamper and dismantle the post office from the inside.
My thing is, everything doesn't need to be politicized. Yeah. Human life, one, should not be politicized.
Shouldn't be a political power move.
No. Human life is not a political power move. You're not human, or you have little human decency if you put a left or right wing on everything, right. Especially human life. Oh, I mean, yes, the pandemic is a very horrible thing that's going around. I think if Trump would have still stopped the flights from coming in earlier, as soon as he did, it was still got to us eventually. Oh,
yeah. No doubt.
So
we've learned that.
So I'm not going to blame this total pandemic the way it is on Trump. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, don't use it as a leverage or a crutch to say it's his fault. And don't say, I did the best I can. I did the best job ever. No, you still didn't do a good job of it. No, it's just human decency and just, what's the word? I need to English dictionary tonight. I'm sorry. And, you know, you're just politicizing everything and it's not right.
Right. Right. No doubt.
Next week, I'm going to read the dictionary, guys. I'm sorry. I'll be better next week.
So, next up, I wanted to talk about a video I saw. And I want to see if I got the video link still. I don't know if it was. All right, I think I'm going to have to summarize this one because it was a long video. And actually, you know what? I think I can.
I might have seen it.
Yeah, this was the Jeremy Holloway video where he was talking, and we're talking about where are all the good men at?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so basically what it was he walked in on a girl talking to her friend on the phone, and they were going back and forth about the girl and her friend were talking about all the bad men they had ran into and the things that they were going through. And okay. So, you know, he walked in on that and he's like, you know, who are you talking to? And she tells him, and she's like, are you talking about the same women who messed up their relationships and now they want to find out where the good men are? And you talk about the ones that cheated on their men and now they want to know where the good men are, and they don't have anything to offer and they want to know where the good men are. And so it was, you know, I was watching it and I was just kind of thinking, like, from a standpoint as a man, and, you know, I hope somebody thinks I'm a good man.
Well, you were married once, so yeah, why not?
Huh?
You were married once, so yeah, why not?
Right. Once, you know, so, you know, somebody thought I was good at one point.
So it wasn't me, but, you know.
Right. So, you know, I was thinking about the whole issue of how do we feel about the perception that women are seeking good men and not finding them, even though we know that there are good men out there, or even though we may even feel like we're good men, but you know, they seem to feel like there's this huge shortage or that there's no good men out there.
I want to let everybody know a secret. It's not going to be a secret no more. This show didn't get a lot of play, or this movie didn't get a lot of play. In fact, it's in a $6 bin right now. It's called Hitch, which I actually love. I liked Hitch because in a movie he said, you know, she, what's her name?
Eva Mendez?
Yeah, Eva. No, they was having an argument toward the end of the movie. Oh, spoiler alert. And he said, you're tricky women. No, so I was treating them to get out their own way, basically. Because, you know, a lot of people, even men, have this perception of women who they want to date or marry eventually in the future. But somehow they can't see past certain aspects of each other, right, say male or female. Mm-hmm. You like, maybe they're too short, too skinny, too big, not big enough, not skinny enough, big butt, big, you know, just whatever, whatever the thing is. Or maybe they act a certain way in public. No, everybody has a different persona when they give off, when they're in public or in private. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just see that private, maybe they see the public side or they see the private side, and they can't see to get past themselves or past that part of them. Maybe there's more to this person than meets the eye.
Right.
So for women, I'm going to say women now because I'm a male. A lot of people didn't like me growing up. It's hard to say. No, it's hard to believe that one. Right. You know, I found myself to be a good guy. It's just that I had something they didn't see. Fortunately, my wife saw something. I'm like surprised that she liked me. And she, so I found somebody that actually appreciated me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess it's about appreciation too, like finding, taking time out to find that hidden gem in somebody.
Right.
To take,
right.
No, because some people just quick rush. I want this. I want this. Like everybody knows that been watching the show long enough, seeing me, hear me talk about my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. One of her biggest flaws were impatience. Like she wanted what her parents had. Her parents been married over 20, 30 some odd years. Mm. So, and she instantly thought that we were going to have that. No, honey, boo boo. It takes years and work to right. know each other to get that.
Right.
And it takes a lot of pain, a lot of heartbreak, a lot, sometimes, no, not all the time, but sometimes it takes trials and tribulation to see what that person is made of and to see what you like and don't like about that person.
Right.
Because right. even though if you get, you know, say y'all wait until y'all get married to live together mm-hmm. or whatever circumstances y'all have, a lot of things you're not going to see up close when you're dating, living together. Because if you're living together, some things are different. You have different perspectives with that person. You don't have that same expectation if y'all just living buddies. But say y'all got that piece of paper, y'all married, everything split 50-50 down the line. Things, you have different little, you have this, your perception is not as disordered. You can see right then and there.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And to your point about time, right? Putting yeah. time in to get a relationship to a point where it's not perfect, but better, right? Or yeah. or ideal. Sometimes you start off and you have that quick love and that lust and that puppy love and anything else that's going on, and then that wears off, and then you get into the realistic part of it. But even then, you're still dealing with the beginnings of something, right? The potential right. of something. And then once you get married, or if you go long term, then you start to see more of who that person is. They start to see more of who you are, and you also start to develop this cohesion, this togetherness, and working together on a relationship, and then seeing where that goes. And like you said, a lot of times people are looking for this vision or this ideal of something that their grandparents had or something that their parents may have had, and not realizing or not taking into account the fact that it takes a lot of work to get to that point, or it takes time, experience, growth, wisdom to get to that point. So, but back to the point of, you know, like you said, where the good men comments come from is like you said, it's the timing, not the timing, I'm sorry, it's the acceptance or the preparation, right? Being prepared to take on that good man, or knowing what you want, you know. And sometimes, you know, certain people get out there and start dating not knowing what they want, or who they are, or what their own issues are. You know, they're hurt, they're dating other hurt people, and there's this back and forth that creates a perfect storm for disaster. I think a lot of times people don't take that into account. They usually just say, okay, you know what? This person wasn't good. And it's like, oh, they may not have been good for you, or they may not have been good at that situation, but they could be a good person for somebody else, or in time after they work on their own issues, or if they had enough time to build a cohesive relationship that actually makes sense, or that can actually grow and prosper, you know? I think I got the video to the point where the guy was talking about, you know, the his standpoint or his viewpoint of why it doesn't always work out. Let me see if I can share this real quick.
Hey, what's up, man? Yo, I know a lot of women are going to hate this video. Why? Because people hate to take accountability. People hate when that mirror is in front of them and they have to take a long look at themselves. People sleep better at night by saying, hey, you're the problem, I am not. And there are gonna be so many women who watch this video and try to spin it back onto the men. Well, men need to do, well, men, they don't take accountability. And that is the very reason why I made the video. I get thousands and thousands of comments and messages from men saying how, man, I messed up. I need to change. I'm trying to change. How can I fix it? I see so many men admitting to when they're wrong, but I rarely ever see women doing the same. What I do see from women, oh, men ain't this, men ain't that. Do good men still exist? Where good men at? Men ain't. I see that all day long. Ladies, when are you going to be honest with yourself? When are you going to tell yourself the truth? One more time. Ladies, when are you going to tell yourself the truth? When are you going to say, hey, I can't find those good men because I friend zoned them? Ooh-wee. When are you going to say that I was accustomed to dating a certain kind of guy? Those certain kinds of guys consistently hurt me. Now I can't trust all men. Mm-hmm. When are you going to say that I haven't dated all men? When are you going to say that I had that good man and I cheated? When are you going to say that I had that good man, but I pushed him away due to my own issues? When? Ladies, understand something. Men respect you more when you do say something like that. Because what you don't understand is, after all the things you've been through with these men, you still have met some of them. You probably dated some of them. And what they do, they ghosted you. Because the only thing they heard is what the man did to you. You never speak on what you did. Men don't respect it. Some do, but a lot of good men don't respect when you say you did nothing wrong, because you did do something wrong. So let me slow down. Give them an example on being honest and how people respect honesty. Ladies, if a man you were dating or you was talking to on the phone, whatever the case was, and he sat there and told you, yes, I had a great one.
I'll try to post the rest of this in the bio or in the show summary, but that he pretty much touched on what I wanted to talk about in terms of that not only the accountability part, but in terms of the like you said, you know, the accepting, the being, trying to remember how he put it, you know, but basically the accountability part, but being ready as well as accepting who that person really is. And like I said before, I think that a lot of times people are like trying to create this image or this vision, and they're doing something that's counter to the relationship because they're trying to create something that's just not compatible with the relationship they're currently in. And so I think that a lot of times that those situations make them feel bitter or make them feel resentful about the person they're with, even though it's not that person's fault. They're not living up to your vision, but you're not giving them a chance to give you a new representation of what something could be.
Social media has something to blame. Well, I'm not going to say blame social media. Is that person's fault for having that vision of seeing somebody else's relationship on the forefront and wanting that? Yes, it's nice to like, oh man, they got, you know, not envy, but just like, oh man, they got a nice crib or they have a nice life. They take some nice pictures. They go on vacations. Yes, I would like to have that some days, you know, like I want to have what they have, but not to the point of, why am I stuck with you? I can't even do this no more. Right. You know, type deal. It's like, don't put your relationship. Don't compare your relationship. Everybody has their own struggles.
Yeah.
Like that might not be their relationship. That might just be pictures. hate each other.
True that. Yeah. I mean, like I was just talking to a friend of mine and we were talking about Niecy Nash. Niecy Nash recently got married.
Yep.
And she had been in a different, you know, another marriage. She had just got a divorce like a year ago. And, mm-hmm. and my friend was like, oh, you know what? That's crazy. She just got out of that divorce. She just got that divorce a year ago. And I'm like, well, you know what? I wouldn't look at when did she get a divorce, because you don't know what type of relationship she was in before they got that official divorce. You know, I was like, they could have been married for 10 years, but only together for four. You know, you don't know what people are going through. Like you say, you don't know what their struggle is. Just because they're married doesn't mean that they're together. Just
like because those air quotes.
They have, huh?
I like those air quotes.
Right. Because they're married don't mean they're together. Just because, like you said, you see them representing something in pictures. I mean, quiet as a cat. I've been there, you know. To be honest, I've been there. You know, it was like being in a situation or in an event or whatever the case may be, and you're taking pictures and it's like, oh, you know, one big happy family, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, oh, well, you know, some of us. So that's the thing. You just don't know, you know. And I mean, to the point where people are in a relationship, you know, and don't realize that they're not in a relationship, you know, and that they have either lost the person that they're with or that, like you said, you know, they could be in a situation where that person is either disappointed or they're like, you know, why am I with you? And they've already moved on in their head.
Yeah. And some people, sometimes relationships are one-sided. You might have a certain perception of like this person's not happy. Like say you're with this person for, you really truly love them, but they're probably with you for a different reason. They're like, why? I really can't stand you.
Right.
They're just there passing time until whatever happens or whatever they get out of the relationship.
Right.
You never know what type of relationship you're in unless you have that heart to heart with somebody or just somebody be truthful with each other. Like, I really love you. I tolerate you. Wait, we're not on the same wavelength. What's going on? Right. Well, I only married you because you're a trophy wife or a trophy husband. Like, that's where a lot of misconceptions come in for a lot of people. Especially people who don't have realistic expectations of somebody. Like, don't look for that the shallowness of somebody. Like, good looks, car, what are they like on the inside? You know what I'm saying? Because your looks are going to go away eventually. say by accident or age. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then what do you want? What do you have to lean on after that? Can you cook? Do you have a good personality? Maybe you have a good personality, but it doesn't mesh with the next person. Y'all just rub each other the wrong way.
No doubt. That's true. That's true. Yeah. All right. I got another question for us. Another question of the night.
I can't take you no more. No.
I think I'm gonna call after show early. All right, welcome to the after show. So definitely having a great show so far. Appreciate Dane for dropping in and helping me make this happen tonight.
Always.
So the next question that I have that's come up, this one, I think I got a graphic. Here it is. I'm going to share this real quick if I can read this off verbatim. Hate that I can't, like, center on just the image. I got a lot going on in this thing. So it says, if your family or relatives were saying stupid stuff about your spouse, would you, one, repeat it to your partner, and two, don't tell your partner in order to keep the peace?
Both.
You have family or relatives that are saying stupid stuff about your spouse. What would be your way of handling that with your family or with your spouse or both?
Both. Because it depends on the
circumstances. That's a good, Joy just made a good comment earlier about people are not transparent. Indeed. Indeed.
What do you mean? No. For those two questions, it depends on the circumstances of what they're talking about, the relationship of that person that you're with. If it's your wife, you tell. Man, I don't keep, and it depends on what they're talking about. If it's something that's outlandish, sometimes it's just, no, not true. If it's something really wild, like, nah, I just leave it alone. But if it's just something that could be detrimental to us, I'm telling my wife, like, hey, we got to nip this in the bud. No, I talk to my family, tell my wife. We both nipping in the bud and move on. But if it's your girlfriend, y'all just start talking. Y'all seen her at the club. I seen her stripping. Like, wait, what? I'll just keep this to myself until I find out more about it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can see what you mean in terms of situation and in terms of the information that's being passed along. I didn't think about the information that was passed along. The situation, in my mind, the thought of it being a girlfriend versus a wife, I definitely see your point, because when it's your wife, you definitely want them to respect your wife. You definitely want your wife to know who's on her side or who's not. You definitely, that's a given.
Yeah, you watch each other's back.
Exactly.
Y'all there for thick and thin.
Exactly, watching each other's back. Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I totally feel that that's necessary, because one, you're together. That's your partner. And I had a person that was telling me about their relationship and the situation that they were in, where their spouse and their family weren't getting along. And I think the unfortunate part was that there was two things happening there in that relationship. One was the one person that didn't get along with the family was not being protected by the other spouse. So it was like them against the whole family, and with no protection, no buffer, nothing. Then the opposite situation was that the person whose family it was, they felt that their spouse was unduly attacking their family for reasons that they should not have been treated badly. So what that told me there was that there's a huge communication problem in terms of how each person saw the conflict. right? I mean, right. Being right or wrong, if the spouse that was getting or that was attacking the family and getting attacked, if they felt a certain kind of way but couldn't either couldn't voice that or couldn't articulate that issue, or was doing this in retaliation and didn't tell their spouse up front, like, your family has been doing this to me, so I've been doing this back, this is the retaliation. It's one of those things where I feel like they didn't have good communication between the two of them to be able to understand how this conflict was affecting them up front and throughout it. You know, so I think that a lot of times it's about communication. So I think if you step up that communication up front and say, look, you know, my family feels this way about you, or this person in my family feels this way about you, you know, look out for them, you know, be aware, you know, don't have undue interactions with them, because they're going to either use it against you, or they're going to try to, you know, twist it around on you. And vice versa, if you see that person is doing things or saying things or making comments about your spouse, it's like, hey, shut that down. Like, hey, this is my spouse. This is the person I love. This is the person that is most important to me, you know, because your family is as great as your family is. And as much as you love them, you didn't marry your family. You married your spouse. And you told God, or you made a commitment to God, or you made a commitment to that spouse to say, hey, we're a team. We're going to do this together, and we're going to make, you know, every good and bad thing work together. So I think that that's an important aspect of it, is being able to sit there and say, you know what, this is the person that I love, and that it's in my home, that I cherish. You know, don't disrespect them, or don't treat them this way, or, you know, keep the name out of their mouth, whatever it takes, you know, to shut that down. You know, I think that's important.
Facts. Especially when it gets to you, and they're just saying it directly to you, you can shut it down. Right, look, this is the person I'm with. Careful what you say. Don't do it no more. If I hear it again, it's gonna be some problems. Get these hands. It's a girlfriend. Yep. If there's a girlfriend, hey, I'm trying to build something. I don't know her that well. I'm trying to get to know her. You know, cut us a break. Unfortunately, the friend that you're talking about, that's, you know, with the two sides of the family, that's tough. I had another question for that. What about your friends with your close friends with both partners, male and female, mm-hmm. and they both tell you something about their person, each yeah. other? I've been in that situation where it's like, oh, your situation sucks because y'all both talking to me about it. Yeah. And I'm not going to misuse that information or use both information for y'all to, you know, like what your wife said.
Right.
You know, your wife said, well, your husband said this. What? I don't want to be that guy in the middle causing more friction. So I just keep it to myself. Like, well, maybe you need to see it from this angle and see where he's coming from. Maybe they can come together, and with the help I'm trying to give them without actually giving them the help. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I like you said, I've been in those situations, just because those people talk to me about everything. It's probably the reason I'm on this show now, you know, because I'm so used to people always talking to me about their problems, their issues, things like that. And so, like you said, I agree. I don't like to be the person in the middle, but I also don't want to tip the scales. Mm-hmm. Right. I was in a situation once where the couple was basically on the verge of breaking up, and I tried my best. You know, I took the stance of, you know, how do I affect progress in their relationship, like you said, without one using information from one against the other, which was hard because, you know, when you talk to one person and they know certain information and you can't do anything other than throw your hands up, you know, so it's like you go through that. But then the other thing is that, like you said, you sometimes have to be like, look, I'm seeing it from this angle, and this is what I think y'all should do. Or I'm seeing it from this angle, and this is how I think y'all should approach this. You know, unfortunately, it got to the point where it was just like, I was just like, I think y'all made a decision or made a choice that this is not going to work. So, you know, when people get to that point, there's really not a lot you can do. But in terms of, you know, but wish them luck, pray for them, and then, you know, send them on their way. But in terms of how, like you say, how you work with that, like you say, I agree that you have to be conscious of the information that you're holding, but also make it real to them that this is something that they just may not be communicating well on, and that they may not be seeing it from each other's angle or each other's side, that they may feel slighted, or they may feel, you know, hatred or anger, or it may be a situation that may be causing a lot of the friction, but you know, they may not realize that they're just seeing it from two different angles. So I do like to be like, look, what about this? What if he's seeing it from this? Or what if she's seeing it from that? You know, and then seeing if that kind of helps them gain clarity
mm-hmm.
for each other's point of view.
No, I will use the information and like, all right, he's feeling this way because XYZ that she does. And she's feeling this way because of ABC that he does. I use information to help them out, like maybe see it from their angle. All right, have you talked to this person about it?
Right.
And this is the actual conversation I had with somebody. She said that he didn't do this. She told him multiple times that, and he just won't refuse to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to him, and he said, well, he did it because of this. Like, have you explained it to her? And, you know, he made steps without her consent.
Okay.
Life altering decisions without her consent, or at least discussing it with her. I'm like, well, maybe you should have did that in XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to use information for good, not to make their lives even harder. Like, maybe, you know, keep them together as long as I can, if I can't help, you know,
but
If I give you information and you don't use it, that's between you, God, and your spouse. So
right. Exactly. And I mean, sometimes, you know, that's the thing too, is like, if you're coming to me, realize that I'm going to try my best to be a third party, but also to try to be a help, you know, and be like, look,
yeah.
Don't vent to me. And then, you know, this is just something that you just want to be over and done with, you know. Realize that this,
yeah, I'm not gonna flame
help here. You know,
I'm not gonna fan the flames either. Like, girl, he did that. If I was you, I'll leave him. If you did this,
fuck them flames.
Hold on, wait. I don't have access to say Willie Styles comments over flames. Willie Styles' comments does not reflect GFT Radio. That's what's sunny.
But yeah, no doubt. I definitely, you're right. I mean, you don't want to fan the flames. You don't want to be, like you said, that person that's like, oh yeah, you should do this and you should do that and be a negative aspect to it. You know, I definitely. I mean, I try my best not to get in the middle of a lot of people's stuff anyway. You know, people come to me, but I'll be like, okay, I'll listen. I'm good for just listening. But if it's somebody I really care about, I will try to step in and try to help out and see, you know, what can be said, what can be done to improve that communication.
And some people just need a sounding board, and some people just need to vent, or yeah, they will explode. Exactly. And sometimes you just need to be the. All right, first I ask them, do you need me to respond to you to what you just said, or do you just need to vent? I just need to vent. Go right ahead. Exactly. And sometimes that's the easiest thing. Sometimes just to know that you need somebody. They just need to have somebody to listen to. They already know what they want to do. They just venting to make it sound more. Sometimes talking out loud makes it more clear. to what you really want to go through, like what your decision is. Like, wait, now that I said it out loud, I sound like a jerk.
Right.
I've actually had to do that. I actually been into somebody like, you know what? Kind of changed my mind talking to you now after I just said that last part. I'll talk to you later.
Right. But yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Let me see. Did I have another one? I think I have another one.
Come on. It's not a slow news cycle week. you got plenty.
I don't want to talk about the news the whole time. You know what I'm saying? People don't want to hear about more news than they already been pulled, you know, being pulled into. Oh yeah, this is a good one.
Oh, I got one.
What's that? Go ahead.
The NBA.
The NBA. You know, I don't know nothing about the NBA.
Protest, shooting the black people. You don't want to hear about that no more. Not that's so 2019.
That's so 1994. Well, I guess I do want to know your position on. So, you know, after they heard about the Jacob,
what's his Blake,
name? Was it
Jacob Blake
shooting? They shut down the Wednesday games,
mm-hmm.
and also that caused other sports to shut down as well. So mm-hmm. NBA, I think, was completely shut down. The vast majority of baseball games were shut down. MLS sports. Most of those games were shut. Not most, I think.
WNBA.
WNBA, they shut their games down that day. So there was a lot of different sports that pretty much came to a halt that Wednesday. They started talking about what's the possibility of them shutting down completely with the NBA. And there was some kind of vote where one of the teams or two of the teams said they weren't going to play the rest of the season, the rest of the playoffs. What was your thoughts on the possibility that they would actually – halt the entire season because of the protests and the social unrest and things of that nature? What was your thoughts on that?
Be honest, I actually didn't care. Because this is going to continue regardless until it's not just political, it's not just from the heads up. He makes it better for them to have a voice. No, he makes them feel comfortable, you know, being racist because, you know, until, yeah, but because, you know, a lot of stuff really didn't come out. We knew everybody, you know, a lot of people are racist, but until Obama got in office, you really didn't see a lot of this, not a lot of it. People are just openly just hatred, you know, just hateful.
Right.
So you're still going to see police shootings until a lot of reforms, not training. A lot of people just come out the woodworks. You don't see secret people who are secretively racist just to keep their job, just stay in a position that they're in to do what they're doing now, mm-hmm. not for the good. So they make their point. Like, mm-hmm. we're tired of it. We're tired of the killings. I mean, I know they kept saying that racism hasn't gotten worse. It's just being filmed.
It's just being televised, yeah.
But at this point, I can't tell.
True. Yeah.
Because, yeah, well, Breonna Taylor.
It's just more blatant for our generation. Somebody posted a meme and it said, where the ancestors act accordingly. And it hit me in two different ways, or three different ways, really, but it hit me in two different ways. I thought about it from the standpoint of civil rights movement. You know, we've seen more protesting and activism in the last 3 to 5 years than we've seen in our whole lifetime. And our lifetime, our 30, 35 to 40 years.
Don't talk about age no more.
So I think that, you know, thinking about it from that standpoint, it makes sense that for us, it feels like it's gotten worse because we haven't seen racism or the remnants of racism this blatant in our lifetime either.
Yes, that's true. You know,
when I was, how old was I, 17? I think it was 17. Me and a friend of mine went to the outlets in, up in upper, not upper Michigan, but in mid Michigan in Birch Run.
Wow.
Yeah, and we got pulled out of dressing rooms for being black. I mean, we went there. He had money. We were trying on clothes. I literally had an attendant helping me purchase some clothes, or not purchase, but, you know, try on some clothes so I could purchase them. And I went into the dressing room with a couple of outfits to try on. And then, you know, I'm getting a knock on the door from state police or from local police. And, you know, they basically said we were looking suspicious being in the stores, and that we had been or that the manager had felt that we were suspicious individuals, and that, you know, we needed to be checked. So and you know, at that time I didn't even know how to react. Like, I really literally didn't know how to react. I had known about racism, had known about being targeted. We didn't have a word for it at the time. We didn't, you know, it wasn't called, you know, shopping while black. It wasn't, you know, there was no,
yeah, no hashtags at the time.
Exactly. There was no hashtags. There were no colloquialisms for it. So it was a shock for me being 17 and seeing racism that blatant and in my face.
Mm-hmm.
I did wake up during the event and told them, like, look, this is racist. This is blatant racism. You are targeting me because I'm black, and that I'm shopping during a time that you're not comfortable with. You know, at the time, black kids would go to this outlet on a Saturday.
All the time.
Every Saturday. But I went on a Saturday, found some things I wanted, went home, and was like, you know what, I'm going back on Sunday to do my shopping because I wanted to have some time to try on some things, and I had gotten there, I think, too late on that Saturday. So I felt like I was just, you know, doing myself a favor of having a little bit more shopping room, a little more time. And I was targeted because they felt that I was there being a young black male on a day that they weren't used to, and a day they didn't feel that was normal or that was, you know, suitable.
It was out of character for blacks.
Exactly. So they, you know, and it, like I said, at the time it was one of those things where it almost felt like a slap in the face. And like I said, it's something that we didn't see. We saw it from here and there, but it was very, very low key. You go into a store and they watch you while you walk around. You go into a different store and they tell you to hurry up and buy, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, that kind of thing, you kind of get used to, because you see it all the time as a little kid all the way up through, you know, to your teenager. But when it's so blatant, they're literally calling the police on you. It's sad, you know. But nowadays, you know, we're seeing it with the police, we're seeing it with stores, we're seeing it with regular people, we're seeing it with, you know, our political figures, we're seeing it with people in higher office. It's blatant and it's in your face, and it's more than we've really had to deal with in 20, maybe 30 years. So
and it's social media is social media. It doesn't help, because you see all these people who are behind the keyboard warriors saying the most ignorant, stupid stuff that I can ever fathom. Like, if you disobey the law, you don't get shot.
Oh, those people, yeah.
That is my favorite one to hate, because it's like, when we obey the law, do what everybody says, you still get shot. Exactly. Choked, exactly. Hung, chased, beaten, jailed, burned. Oh, I'm sorry.
Basically all of that.
In fact, sometimes we're not even doing nothing, just playing with a toy gun in a park.
Yep.
You get shot. My man was just going to his car, and they always I'm about to go. D.L. Hughley said this: they have to kill you twice when they do kill you. Mm-hmm. First they kill you, oh, we just killed another black person, we got caught. Well, what does this person act like? What kind of record does he have? They had to kill your reputation as well. They they had reason to kill you because you were a bad guy in your past.
Right.
But when it comes to other people that shoot up churches, shoot up people on the street with an AK-47, walking down the street from a different state.
Right.
Well, he was coming from a different state. Or let's take him to Burger King. He seems hungry. Let's get this guy a drink. We don't, black people and brown people don't get that same treatment. It's, guilty by association, kill them, judge, jury, execution.
Exactly. Which is like I saw a meme or posting where somebody said, it's also, we also don't pay the police to murder criminals either. Like it's not in their job description to murder criminals either,
No, they got restraint for something.
You're supposed to be guilty until proven. You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, not guilty and then killed. Without cause, without trial, and without and without repercussions.
There is video evidence of them taking people into custody with no problems, no altercations. They have the restraint. It's just something about that black skin. They just got to get all extra. They got to go to 1 to 100 within 30 seconds.
Yeah, real quick. No doubt. So, yeah. All right. Last question of the night.
Yeah.
Last question of the night. All right. I've been married. You are married. You were married twice. We dated different women throughout our time.
I hope so. I want to know your leftovers.
and so here's the question. Could you get married after only 2 weeks of dating?
I ain't gonna explain myself for that. No. No. How do you know somebody? You can't know you.
What if you fell head over heels after first meeting her? Like what they call it, love at first sight. You don't believe in love at first sight?
Yes, I've actually had that. That means, you know what? For stuff like that, that means you know what? Me, you just gonna be exclusive right off the bat. Me, you just had to hit it off. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna see nobody else but you right now because I've had that type of relationship with a couple of people. But to get married, that's a lifelong commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you're putting your best foot forward when you first meet somebody. They're not gonna know about you being gassy. drool, talking your sleep. They don't know about your web browser history right now.
You don't know about your Pornhub search.
That's neither here or there.
It's the Pornhub search for me.
they don't know about a lot of.
Told Jasmine said absolutely not.
For everybody, that is my wife.
Jasmine, you wouldn't have married this guy. You wouldn't have married this guy over here after 2 weeks.
Don't answer that, Jasmine. Yeah. I think the baby's crying at the moment. Put the phone down. Mm-hmm. So no, but you don't know anybody in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You're putting your best mask on.
What does Shan always say? Shan always says they still got a mask on. She would even after 6 months, let alone 2 weeks.
Dude, I'm still wearing a mask in front of Jasmine. Yeah, I'm still trying to put my best foot forward.
Right.
Get off the internet. So no, but I'm still trying to put my best foot forward for my wife. I'm not being what's the word? I'm transparent, but I'm still nice. I try to be respectful to her. I'm reading all these posts, so I'm not. I'm just, like our friends asked us, do you go in the bathroom when your wife is in the bathroom? Like, are y'all going to the bathroom when y'all both using it? Like, no. Some lines I just don't.
What? You don't?
No,
man, y'all ain't really married.
See, I told you that mask. Some lines I just don't.
You ain't officially married to your wife. Done smelled your crap.
Some lines I just don't want to cross.
right. Or you done walked in while she was. Or she was on the toilet, so you can go brush your teeth. Because you're running late from work, you got to hurry up and throw your deodorant on and be out.
That's why we have multiple bathrooms.
Give her kiss while she's on the commode and everything.
No, I do. I am realistic. Like, say something happens to one of us and we have to take care of each other. Mm-hmm. That's one thing, but right now, I'm in sound mind, body, and spirit where I don't have to do this. Oh, I'm not.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think that, 2 weeks is definitely too soon. Just because she said y'all been married 7 years and still getting to know each other. And that's real talk, though. That's real talk. Because a lot of times people don't realize there's a lot that you don't discuss. Not because you're hiding anything, not because you're not being
transparent. Situational.
It doesn't come up.
Situational.
You know, there's opinions. Like the benefit that people get from right now watching me on this show is that they see me talk about a lot of things. They hear my opinions on a lot of things. They see my reactions to a lot of things. They know my standpoint on a lot of issues. So they have a one up, right? You know, if I dated somebody based on them seeing me on this show, they would have such a huge advantage over anybody else, right? But you don't get that when you're dating. You don't get to hear a person's opinions or their viewpoints on things like that. You don't. Not everybody's running a podcast that talks about just about any topic in any situation and are able to give up a lot of that hidden information. Stuff that, like you said, just is situational. It doesn't come up. So it's things that, I mean, I won't say that after, 8 or 9 years when I was with my ex that I was still learning a bunch of stuff, but there were still certain things that might pop up and I might be like, dang, like I didn't know that. Or, this changed, because it's not even just learning new things. It's learning things that change over time. Because sometimes our viewpoints change on certain things.
And you're growing as a couple together.
Exactly.
So a lot of things do change, like for taste.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to like this until such and such happened. So like I said, situational things happen. Like I used to like this. I used to didn't like this. Until I got with you. It's just the way it is.
I used to like big butts and a smile, but no, babe, not no more. I'm good.
Awkward. So.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, we also can't put a time limit on or a timeline on love, on relationship status, because everybody has their own time that they feel that they've learned about a person. Like I was telling somebody, I was like, when I was with my first wife, I felt like after about 6 months of dating that I was ready to be married to her. Like I was that confident that we were a great couple and that we could.
Can I interject with that one?
What's that?
You were neighbors and knew each other for the longest before that. So,
well, that's the thing. I felt like I needed to take a step back and look at things from a different standpoint. Like initially, when we first got together, I was like gung ho, like this is it. This is the relationship. Like this is the one. But then I was like a couple weeks in, I was like, you know what? This is not what we had as friends. This is something different. It's not the same. It's not a continuation. It's an accompaniment, but it's not a continuation. It's not the same. So that relationship that I had built with her, being friends for
forever,
almost 10 years. I think we were friends for almost 10 years. Like, how old was the twins? Or Sydney was like.
Sydney was three, four?
No, she was like 7, I think. So you're talking 7 years at least of being friends. And then I think she might have been answering that other question.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, but we were friends for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up, you know, dating. And like I said, a couple of weeks in, I realized, like, this is not the friendship. This is not what we were building as friends. We were building something different. So I did take a step back and realize that I needed to work on us as a couple, as an actual, you know, relationship. And yeah, definitely a different intimacy level, definitely a different everything level. I mean, everything is, it changes, you know, the bond that you create as friends is makes the relationship better, but the relationship itself still has to stand on its own, still has to be its own entity, its own thing. So I always recommend to people, be friends with whoever you are going to, you know, fall in love with, but don't think that it's going to be that much easier just because y'all were friends. Believe me,
that's true. I didn't
do it all with that one, but like I said, after 6 months though of dating and getting to know each other from an intimate, you know, standpoint, it was at that point that I knew I wanted to marry her. We got engaged, got married, blah 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 blah. So I think that 6 months for some people may not be enough. Some people may need a year. Some people may need a couple years. I've seen people take 10 years to decide to get married, you know, or decide they're ready to get married. You know, everybody has their own timeline. Now, should you wait 10 years? I definitely, you know, I'm on the side of if you can't do in 6 months to 2 years, if you can't do anything to seal that deal, it ain't worth sealing. Like, go for it.
Some you know, people are just
don't do it in 2 weeks, but definitely don't wait no 10 years for somebody to be like, I think I'm ready to marry you. Like, bruh, really? Like,
and some people just want that intimacy with to have a girlfriend or boyfriend, and they don't want to get married. They just forever want to be forever with that person without settling the commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah, the full commitment, but they want the benefits, but not the, you know, the other stuff that goes along with it, responsibility of settling down with that person.
Right.
And what I was going to say too, I lost my thought earlier, trials and tribulation will work in your favor, push against you or for you together when things happen within that relationship. So things will change. You know, say somebody lost their job because of injury or whatever. Your relationship will change for that too, for the better or worse. You will find out the ugliness or the support you want to get from that spouse or that person you're dating. So you need to know that in 2 weeks, that's not going to cut it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I said that from personal experience.
You know, a lot of times people also don't look at the red flags, right? There's a lot of red flags that come up over time. It can be within weeks. It can be within months. Gaslighters, narcissists. Showing their true colors within weeks or mm-hmm. a couple of months of you dating. We had Christina Mayo last week, and you know she was talking about her relationships in her book. Through Blind Eyes, and in that book she was talking about, you know, her narcissist husband and the gaslighting he was doing, but also the red flags he was throwing up a couple of months in, you know, but then there was like this whole lull of no issues for months, might have been over a year or so. Sometimes you just got to be on the lookout for those red flags, because sometimes they can hide them very well. So you know, a lot happens in a short amount of time, but also sometimes it could just take time for you to realize.
Facts.
Yeah. So, no doubt. So, so that's a no from both of us on getting married in 2 weeks. Well, It's been a great show, Dame, as usual. You know, we always put it down for the GFT radio show. Appreciate you stopping through. And definitely, if anybody didn't get a chance to watch the whole show and you want to listen in on the replay, you can catch us free on demand 24/7 on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or Blog Talk Radio. You will hear all the audio from this show. Or come back to Facebook or YouTube and check out the video live stream replay. It's going to be at the same link. So definitely check that out. Get the merchandise. So we got T-shirts. We got sayings on them, different slogans. We got hoodies. We have, we got masks. Don't forget your masks. Stay masked up. We have pillows, fanny packs, whatever you need. Teespring.com/store/GFTradio. And make sure you check us out on the web, www.gftradioshow.com, or on your favorite social media sites, GFT_radio on Twitter and on Instagram, or at GFTradio on Facebook. Make sure you catch Sunny at @IamSunny_D on IG, Snapchat, Twitter, or TikTok. Or you can visit her at unreservedlyme.com to check out her blogs. I think she's still posting some things over there, just randomly here and there. Check out Clint over at E. Trenton Groomy on Twitter, as well as A King's Truth on Snapchat, or on his blog, akingstruth.com. I am Willie Styles. Definitely get at me at Willie Styles on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. I know I keep promising a new TikTok video. I will be posting one very soon. I got a bunch of videos piling up right now. So definitely check me out on TikTok soon. Willie.Styles. Well, I got some videos already over there too. So go check those out in the meantime. Check me out at Willie.Styles on Snapchat. Guess what I did this week, Dane?
What's up?
I posted on Snapchat.
This is where I leave you.
Crazy.
You just, wait. You're not stalking anymore?
I'm not just stalking. I did start stalking a couple of new people. I found a couple of people and started stalking them, but I posted some pictures too. So, you know, win-win.
They're going to start stalking you now.
They're going to start stalking me now. You know, that's what's up. That's what's up. So definitely check me out on Snapchat. Those pictures aren't up right now because they only last 24 hours, but I might post again. You never know. I mean, wilder things have happened. Visit me at stylesradio.com. I've posted a lot on stylesradio.com. From memes to music to articles to tributes to a little bit of everything. WillieStyles.com or AskWillieStyles.com. I also post a bunch of stuff. I don't really talk about it on here, but it's on my WillieStyles.info. That's where all my links are. So definitely check out AskWillieStyles.com. That was my original website. It's not the original design or the original hosting anymore, but that was the original domain. AskWillieStyles.com. I still have that. Definitely go check that out and get at me. You can check out a lot of my personal posts over there, and then WillieStyles.info for all my links. So get at us. All right. Well, definitely thank you all again for checking us out. Rest in peace again to Chadwick Boseman, Conda Forever. Rest in peace, King. And I think.
See you in 7.
See you in 7 days. Holla.
See you, Sunny.
Hey, guys. It's your girl, Sunny D, 1/3 of the podcast, GFT Radio Show.
What up, though? It's your boy, Willie Styles, from the GFT Radio Show. Just letting you know, you can catch us every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And to get some merch, I got some on right now. Go to teespring.com/stores/GFT Radio.
Talk Radio. Join the conversation. Let's have some fun. Holla.